Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on March 9th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
All right. You can find out more about us on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well this morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm good. And what a great topic. I love this topic, because there's so many great things happening in this space. And
it's a big topic. It's big.
It's big. And it just reaches throughout all of society.
It affects everybody.
It affects everyone.
Yep.
That's right. What were
we saying last week? All roads lead to Rome?
Right.
Can't get much accomplished without roads. Right?
You were talking, and you brought up the point, very, very astute point, that of all the things that made the Roman Empire great, and there were many things, many innovations. One was hot and cold running water. Many people...
The aqueducts. Absolutely.
Marvel at that, of course, but there was flowing water, hot and cold, in many homes, and... transportation.
Mm-hmm.
There was a tremendous innovation in the building and management and the planning of roads, I guess civil engineering and so forth. So we're going to talk about the advances in alternative forms of transportation that are happening all around us. And Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Shirley Pei from All Yellow Taxi and Don Sirdlip of AdWorks Communications. Shirley Pei has been in the transportation industry for over 15 years and has been the face of All Yellow Taxi for over 4 years. Prior to that, she worked as the VP of Marketing for South Bay Yellow Cab. Shirley is the Public Relations Director for All Yellow Taxi and is currently involved in the paratransit industry. Her passion is to provide seniors and persons with disabilities the freedom of mobility. Don Sirdlip has had a successful career in marketing, public relations, regional local government, nonprofit and business organizations, as well as a background creating advertising, merchandising, and communication programs for various B2B and B2C enterprises. He has extensive experience in local, state, and federal legislative processes and political trends with an emphasis on public works, economic development, telecommunications, and transportation issues. And he also sits on the Metro Board of Directors. So, Joe, last week we discussed the various bus and mass transit options servicing Redondo Beach and surrounding areas, and today we're going to hear about alternative methods of transportation. Don, Shirley, welcome to the program. We are so glad you could join us this morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much, both of you. And I'd like to get an overview, Don, from you about how you see transportation in the South Bay, and in particular the areas that you work with on the board that you're a representative of. Tell us first what board you're on, and then give us your overview of alternative transportation in the South Bay.
Okay. Firstly, the structure at Metro in regards to their board of directors, they sit and operate the entire corporation and all of the efforts. And there are five sub-boards, sector councils, looking at five different regions who feed back up to the board information in regards to scheduling, other uses of the assets that Metro represents in many areas. And I sit on the South Bay Sector Council. We look at the transportation from basically the airport south, not quite into Long Beach, sort of the South Bay COG area, same 16 cities that the COG serves. We look at all the transit there. And so we're looking over the bus routes, making certain each 6 months when we evaluate where we're not serving people well and increasing our service, where we have too much service and we can better relocate and reallocate our assets. We feed that information up to the board for their action.
Now
we also, you know, I personally am a strong rail advocate, and as we watch our rail system being built out, it's a great concern here in the South Bay that we eventually get the extension of the Green Line down here into Redondo Beach and hopefully on into Torrance. But that's a little stymied at the moment because despite the fact that there are Measure R funds that or designed to lay the groundwork, we don't have full funding yet for our extension here. And it's going to be important because Metro is going to float another ballot measure probably coming up this November looking for additional funds or the extension of our half-cent tax credit so that we can fund additional rail and additional infrastructure within the entire L.A. County.
From your point of view, Don, and sitting on the board, you must have these informal discussions occasionally. Is light rail the key to mass transit in Southern California? Because, you know, Jackie and her extended family is from the New York area. My extended family, I was born in Chicago. We have, you know, amazing mass transit in Chicago. It's literally almost anywhere in the city limits. If there's not like 8 feet of snow on the ground, you can get around the city without a car, just about anywhere. And many people do and have for, you know, many years, go to work, go home, go to the market without a car. But that's not the reality in Southern California. If you don't have a car, there you have certain limitations.
Well, that's very true. I, too, I'm from New Jersey, and I grew up with an integrated infrastructure of transit and transportation options. When I was a teenager, I could get on Erie Lackawanna, take it to the path, and be hanging out in Washington Square Park for the afternoon. So that kind of mobility, we're not quite there in Los Angeles. Unfortunately, this county is so very spread out that it becomes difficult to have rail serve every little corner of the county. It will be the backbone of the system, but then there will be, exactly as we have it now, and what we do when each new rail line opens, we reroute or reschedule our buses aimed at connections with the rail system. And now we are concentrating on what's called first and last mile. As much as we have an integrated bus and rail system, We're now trying to look into and advocate for all those things that people do in that first and last mile, whether it's the drop-off parking lot or bicycle paths or walking paths, all the different types of transportation that one uses just to get into the system is a major concentration these days for Metro.
Right, right. And Shirley, without a doubt, Yellow Taxi is a huge part of the transportation puzzle. I mean, there are many other transportation options now available as technology begins to take hold in the transportation space. But tell us about All Yellow Taxi and their contribution to transportation in the South Bay.
Good morning. Good morning, Jackie. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us on behalf of All Yellow Taxi. One thing that's not told by many and that's not known by many, the taxi cabs are primarily providing services to our seniors and our children with special needs. And that has been something that we've been doing for years and years now. We provide those services. Other than the dial a ride fix routes that the city has, usually we provide the senior dial a ride services mm-hmm. in each of the cities. We're at the pier. We're pretty much everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So. We're on call, and it was way back when we're a big part of the Mothers Against Drunk Driving,
mm-hmm.
Having us being a voice of Don't Drink and Drive campaign. So
right.
That's pretty much where,
right.
most people don't realize.
No.
I got a quick question for Shirley.
Sure.
Our old friend, George Butts, who was a producer with our show for several years, he worked for a taxi company, excuse me, and he explained to us one time that in Manhattan Beach, there were only two taxi cabs that could operate in Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, does that work with every city? Does your company have to go into each city and get permits to operate in that city?
Great question, Jackie. Thank you very much. Yes. In order for us to how taxi works is you have to have a permit or a franchise in the city in order for you to be able to pick up. We could drop you anywhere, wherever. You can go to San Francisco, New York. We could take you anywhere, but we cannot pick anybody up in a city without a permit.
Mm-hmm.
So for Manhattan Beach, there's about four of the franchises approved, and so is in Redondo and the city of Torrance, basically. So you have to have a permit, and we have to pay franchise fees. And the franchise fees for our investors are, enormous. It could range anywhere from $300 per vehicle to $1,000, $1,100,
mm-hmm.
not including all the driver permits. They have to get vetted and all that good stuff. So, with the DOJ and things, yes. Well, you have to be a franchise, or you have to have a permit. And our drivers are independent contractors, which means that the city actually are the ones that are hiring our drivers. We don't hire them. So the city has to approve. Like City of Redondo Beach has to approve any drivers that are going to be working in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So they have all that information. And so when any kind of complaints that would come in with any of the vehicles or any of our drivers, they're the first to know. And so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a large expense per vehicle. If you have a fleet of 1,000 or 5,000 vehicles or however many vehicles you have to pay your franchise fees on the per vehicle basis.
And considering that the South Bay is made up of, Don says 16 cities. My South Bay
right.
person is 13 cities.
Right.
That's a lot. That's a lot of. So if a new taxi cab company opens up in the area and they say, okay, we want to service the South Bay, they have to go to each individual city and get permitting and up,
correct.
You know, wow.
Correct.
A lot.
Absolutely. It's a huge investment for
right.
one of our independent contractors for each vehicle. Yes, it is.
Right. So
may I ask a question?
Sure, Don.
Because
sure.
I'd like to understand what the difference is between a traditional cab company such as All Yellow and these newer upstarts, Uber or Lyft. Could you address that for us?
Sure. First of all, they're not local. They're not local. They're not, overseen by our local government, which is this part would be Redondo, City of Redondo Beach. City of Redondo Beach does not have any control over them. It's the PUC. It's at the PUC level, so they don't pay any dues. They don't pay any fees. You know, they're there. They're everywhere, but they're not responsible for anybody
mm-hmm.
other than the PUC.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, Jody, is that the equivalent of, like, a gypsy cab? Because
yes.
I know we had gypsy cabs in New York. Did you have gypsy cabs?
Gypsy cab?
Yeah, that's what they were called.
We were called bandit cabs way back when we didn't have any permits. And those bandit
yeah.
cabs still exist nowadays in some cities. And so now we have tons of bandit cabs that we have to. But they're not taxis, per se. They tell
yeah.
us that they're mostly an app. And, so that's something that, okay, they're just an app. They're just a software management that just sends out, all this information or all these trips that they have to the independent contractors that they have.
Right.
And our biggest thing is, our biggest challenge really is the insurance. Our insurance can cost, because we have to have commercial insurance in order to, with us it's all about safety of the people around us. And so the insurance, whether it has to be a commercial insurance, and it ranges anywhere from $5,000 to $7,000 a year per vehicle.
Mm.
So that's in addition too. And right now we don't. That's our biggest challenge with them, because most of their vehicles, they're independent contractors, and they carry personal license plates. So,
mm-hmm.
Don't get me started, because this is very passionate for me.
Well,
oh, no, we're going to wind you up, Shirley.
No, Shirley, we really are thrilled to have All Yellow Taxi talk about this, because it's in the in the news and in the. In everyone's face right now, everyone has some experience either with others that they know or themselves personally with these upstarts, as Don says.
Right. What's the other challenging issue for us is that not only is the insurance, it's the vetting of the each individual driver. There are, incidents here and there that I personally hear, and it's in the news, of drivers that, from the other alternative that does things. And most of the times we chuckle, because those are sometimes the city's rejects. And we're saying, okay, the city didn't approve them, so where do they go? So
mm-hmm.
that's basically what we're looking at.
Nope.
Big challenge. Sure.
Oh, can I just, I'm going to cut in here with a little personal history. Speaking of taxicabs, my family, way back when, 1830s, That's way back when, yeah.
Well, they had a taxi service then?
We don't even look.
Well, my family, yeah. my family,
yeah.
They owned a livery service. They had, handsome cabs, and it was a livery service, prior
Ooh.
To cars. And
right.
And ours, my family's livery service was the first livery service in New York City to move to automobiles from horse and carriage.
Hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
In the 1830s?
No. Not, they came over to this country in the 1830s, and they had it. I don't know what year it was that they switched over to automobiles, but they were the first livery service to transfer to automobiles.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little
nice.
Bit of just
yeah.
a tidbit of information.
Nice.
For you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cutting edge, Jackie.
Yes, there you go. They were early adapters.
Now, Don, we can talk about this from various angles, but like when we talk about the local service councils for Metro, there are several. There's gateway cities, or what we
correct
call the like Harbor City area. There's San Fernando Valley, San Gabriel Valley, South Bay, and then West Side Central. When you think
correct
about the South Bay, is this extension of the Green Line, is this going to make what kind of impact will that make in terms of ridership? You must have some numbers that have been discussed at board meetings. What kind of impact
will
that have?
We really don't discuss the numbers other than after the fact. In other words, there are so many planners involved with Metro that all of that is contained within all of their reports and what their projections are. I can tell you that of the most recent lines that have been opened, the Expo line, for example, they hit their two-year daily ridership mark in 3 months. So the fact is that people are riding the rails.
Right.
And my goal is to try to get the discretionary rider to leave their automobile and take public transit. And it's difficult to accomplish. There's a mindset out there. For example, people say that the rail system doesn't go to the airport. Well, the fact is that the rail system goes to the aviation station, and right downstairs are buses that take you right into the airport. So in my mind, the rail does go to the airport. But people perceive buses differently. The discretionary rider often looks at the bus as something that services those who are transit dependent and are not of their stature, shall we say. And our goal is to make certain that we're supplying services to contradict that. We started the 450X, which was a direct express going right up the 110 freeway into downtown, and it was so successful that it morphed into the Silver Line, which runs up from the South Bay into downtown and all the way out to El Monte, and has headways less than 5 minutes during rush hour because the usage is so great. And we would like to see more people getting out of their cars. Rail is a key. People see rail in a different level. Oh, it's a much higher class. And they can see themselves sitting on a train going from point A to point B easier than sitting on a bus. So the rail system will be the backbone. It's being built out in a manner, hopefully, that will continue to give us additional access in a lot of different directions, east, northeast, south, and west. But it's difficult to cover this whole area. I mean, if you look at the map of Los Angeles County and just look at all the freeways that are serving all these people, we're not even close to that yet with the rail.
Right.
We personally, I lament the loss almost every day of the red car and the huge infrastructure that was there and the right-of-ways that were there that we'll never get back. And when we try to build more rail, the cost of those right-of-ways can be prohibitive, very, very expensive.
Now, Don, I realize this is kind of a blue skying, but often talking about these issues with friends and relatives, one of the things that comes up is, you know, maybe we're looking at this from a 2D perspective. Maybe we should look at the other dimension, that is, double-decker freeways. Has that been any part of the discussions that you've had in your meetings?
No, by and large, though we at Metro are heavily involved in the creation of HOV lanes, high occupancy vehicle lanes, to serve, you know, those who are carpooling and vanpooling and buses, et cetera, we really don't create the freeways. The freeways are under the auspices of Caltrans. So that discussion isn't something that we hold.
I see. But in your personally, though, do you think that that might be a way forward since, as you say, right-of-ways in Southern California are extremely difficult to establish now? There are so many people and so many homes that are being built that it would be difficult to see new right-of-ways for rail, but perhaps rail underneath freeways, or in some way reutilize that those right-of-ways that we have.
Well, let me address it this way. We have seen the use of the 105 freeway as the with the Green Line as its backbone going right down the middle. We have not seen that rail extended to other places. We've seen double-decker freeways in the high-occupancy vehicle lanes heading into downtown on the 110 freeway. Mm-hmm. There's been significant discussion over time double-deckering the 710 freeway, mm-hmm. creating distinct truck lanes. Since so many trucks come out of the port and head towards downtown and use that 710 freeway. But there, as in many things, is public opposition. It's a huge expense. And sometimes it's easier just to go to the low-lying fruit and reassess where you want to spend your money rather than fighting what may be a losing battle or a much longer battle before you can accomplish something.
Hmm.
That was very diplomatic, Don.
I try.
Hey, Joe, let's take a commercial break.
All right, let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about transportation in the South Bay and then by connection in the larger Southern California region. If you have a question or a comment, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We're talking with Shirley Pei from All Yellow Taxi and Don Zerlip of AdWorks Communications. We're going to have a free-ranging discussion, but we'd also like to thank a sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
Shirley, I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about
sure.
the challenges that All Yellow Taxi has before it. I just talked today, as a matter of fact, to my 88-year-old aunt, Aunt Alice, in Chicago, and she has actually done Uber. And I was somewhat surprised when she was telling me about it. And so many people have. Tell us a little bit about those challenges for you.
Well, first of all, our main challenge is, another of our challenge would be, we're highly regulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so people think that we dictate the rates, and we don't. It's through the Department of Transportation. They mm-hmm. tell us, you know, they somewhat tell us, not somewhat, but they do tell us how much we're going to be charging for, you know, what our first drop or first mile would be and all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we have rules, and we have like a 3-inch binder of what we can and what we can't do. We have to be in all our drivers, all our vehicles have to be, if we have all yellow, we have to have this type of logo, insignia, mm-hmm. and all that. The color has to be color coordinated. We have an annual inspection, vehicle inspection. We have our driver inspection. We have all kinds of inspections. So we are very highly regulated. Even with advertising, we can't advertise this. We can't advertise that. So it's not like we can run amok. It's not like when we were mm-hmm. bandits.
Mm-hmm.
Where we could do anything we want and we dictate. And so there's price, you know, there's price wars and things like that. For our challenge nowadays, it is very hard. The one thing that I would be concerned about personally is I personally wouldn't mind riding an Uber because mm-hmm. of their pricing and all that. But for my family, for children, and my senior relatives and stuff, mm-hmm. I would really caution that because I would personally not know who the driver is behind, and the fact that it is a personal license plate, I would really, you know, mm-hmm. question that. That should there be an accident and all that.
You know, that's interesting that you mentioned that, Shirley, because I was talking to somebody recently, and they were telling me that today all the kids, they use Uber themselves, like kids in high school. Like after school, they'll pull out their phone and they'll use an app to get a ride with their friends to the mall.
Right.
And you know, I don't know, dude. It would seem a little scary to me as a parent, but obviously the parents are approving this because somebody has to put up the credit card for it, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
But it seems to me that it gives them a little too much freedom, and I don't know that there's any way to keep track of that. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yes, there isn't. Unlike us, everybody, the city knows exactly how many vehicles we have, exactly what the vehicle numbers there are, who our drivers are, who mm-hmm. what their driver's license, who belongs to what. They know. And when they start calling, and if a senior calls and say, hey, my driver was rude or this cab was filthy, and they call the city, we know exactly who they are. Mm-hmm. Our vehicles are GPS. We have GPS on our vehicles. We have cameras in our vehicles. So we know exactly where that vehicle came from and who's in that vehicle. And I don't necessarily know if that's available to all the vehicles because these are independent contractors. And
right.
I don't know, you know, there was one incident in Orange County somewhere, I think, that I heard that a driver was beaten up so badly. But lucky for him, he bought his own camera. And he caught that person. That person got caught. But these are the things that, you know, has evolved through the years. We started out like years ago, like you said, Jackie, 1835 or 1800s, you know, and we've evolved around. And that's why we are at the position that we are, is because the city itself and the people are protecting the public and the public in their residence, and they want to make sure that they're, you know, people are accountable for.
Is there an all yellow taxi app that I can
schedule a
ride on my phone?
Yes, there. It's called Curb. The reason interject this one. We say local and support local. Our taxi cabs are very local. The taxi cabs in Redondo Beach, the four franchisees in Redondo Beach, were local. We can't compete with a big, humongous corporation that has an app and that can call. We're very limited. There's only so many taps in the area that can come, so that can come to your, you know, like as soon as you call, we're there. There's only so many vehicles, whereas Uber, they can come from anywhere. I mean, did I say that word? But, you know, the
wash your mouth out with soap.
I know. I just say that. But, you know, anybody comes from anywhere. You know, a call that could come from Redondo Beach, and the person can be coming from Lakewood, Orange County. You don't know. We can't. We have to stay local. So we pick up, and like Jackie says, it's like, what is the radius from Manhattan Beach to Hermosa Beach? What, 5 miles, 5 miles? But so that's one of our biggest challenges is we don't have enough vehicles. We are very limited. Like I said, we're very regulated, and they're not. So vehicles, you can have 200 vehicles in the city of Redondo. As a matter of fact, we had one conversation in the city of Santa Monica with our franchising last year, and we found out that Uber, there are 300 vehicles in Uber that they know of, but they're not accounted for. Nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still having issues with Joe. I just got to ask you this. I know that Uber and Lyft and those other things, they came a little later because your kids are older.
Mm-hmm.
But if your kids were still in middle school or high school,
mm-hmm.
as a parent, would you have allowed them to have free use of Uber? Would you have allowed that with your kids?
You mean like with my credit card?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't. I'm not even
talking about the monetary aspect of it.
Right. No, I understand.
I'm not talking about them running amok and having huge bills. I'm just talking about your kids having the ability to leave school,
right.
and get into car and go wherever they want.
And go wherever they want. There is an aspect of that where we did not have to worry about with my kids until we knew some of their friends were driving.
Right, right.
And
right.
we kind of knew which of the friends were that had
right.
the cars. And it's a different world today.
It is. It is right. different. And right. and as I said, that just that aspect of it just gives me pause. I just don't
right.
care for the idea of the, but then again, you know, that's just me. I don't know. Maybe
right.
I'm maybe
yeah.
I'm a control.
Well, Jackie, I can't speak for the grade schools, but I was dining with my daughter, who's a senior at Cal Poly Pomona, and we had this discussion just the other night, and she said that she will not take these alternative taxi companies unless she's accompanied by someone else. She's heard too many stories of single women not being safe in these vehicles, being taken advantage of. And so no matter what her condition is, she won't get into one of those alone. I'm not trying to cast aspersions here, but this
no,
is what
that,
she tells
yeah.
me.
Well, yeah, you see, I didn't want to go there. You did. I didn't want to go. But it's just a scary thing.
Hey, I'm here to talk about rail.
Yeah. All right, we'll get back to
well,
it.
Right.
I think I just personally think that it's all about knowledge and awareness, and because of their pricing is really, you know, very reasonable, and kids can afford it, and that's what the parents are just thinking about, not knowing the other factors behind it and not being cautious. But hopefully once they're aware that insurance is an issue, how long have we been fighting insurance, and how long have we been saying everybody needs to have vehicle insurance. Everybody needs to have vehicle insurance. And now we're not identifying the difference between a personal insurance and a commercial insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Who really does get covered?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a matter of really educating people that these are the things, why the prices that we have is a little on the higher side. If you want protection, then yes, you know, we will be able to provide that protection. We went on years and years and years and years, and there are very minimum complaints from the city. And, you know, oh, Jackie, by the way, if I could just say, I would like a shout out to the council members of Redondo Beach.
Please.
Mayor Aspel, huh? Sorry?
Go on, please. Yes.
Yes, because they are one of our partners who first understood the taxi cab's challenges in the city, and they're the ones that have been willing to bend over backwards to figure out what kind of solution that they can help in order for us to be able to be more competitive in this really crazy industry that we're having right now. So I really would like to, Mayor Askel, the council members, they're wonderful. They really understand and they get it. Mm-hmm. And they want to help small businesses to like independent contractors to keep afloat and to keep their business alive.
Right.
So, yeah. It's mostly bad education, I think.
And All Yellow Taxi is a business here in the South Bay.
Correct.
I guess your offices, corporate offices, are located in Gardena.
Correct.
And that's very important to keep those businesses healthy and give them every opportunity to compete in the marketplace. And Don, I really am curious, what is going forward, looking forward, what are some of the things that we haven't heard about necessarily in the public? I understood there's rail going to LAX. Is that true?
Well, under construction currently, it's in the pre-tracking phases where they're moving wires and preparing streets is what's referred to right now as the Crenshaw Line.
Mm-hmm.
The Crenshaw Line will start from the Green Line at the aviation station and go north up Aviation at 96th Street, I believe it has been. You know, 96th Street is in the master plan of LAX, and I don't want to speak for their entire master plan, but they are centralizing all the rental car facilities, and they will centralize the rail will come into that station, and LAX is looking to make a people mover, some other type of independent rail system to come out and meet with the Crenshaw Line. The Crenshaw Line will continue up Crenshaw Boulevard, making connections with the Expo Line and eventually up to Wilshire and the Purple Line.
Wow.
So we're going to get a second north-south corridor that's going to be able to interface with, so people from Santa Monica will be able to get on the extension of the Expo Line that's going all the way out to the ocean, and they'll get on there. They can make one transfer onto the Crenshaw Line, be at LAX, and take a rail style people mover into the terminal facilities.
Mm-hmm.
This is under can't speak to LAX again. The Crenshaw Line probably will be operational prior to 2020. I believe it's scheduled for late 2018 or 2019 to be operational. And it will be very interesting to see, because it's going to be similar to what goes on downtown with the Blue Line and all the trains coming out of the 7th Street station, and one train goes to Expo and the next one goes down the Blue Line, and so there's a lot of varying locations going through the same stations. And what we'll see is we'll see some trains that will maybe even be the Green Line and go north all the way up through the Crenshaw Line. Or they may just be trains going up and down Crenshaw supplementing that. But yes, that quote airport connection has finally, and I say finally because for many years there were, and local officials wanted the airport to pay for the local transit to go to the airport, but federal rules prohibit the use of funds generated at an airport for local transit. It can only be used, those funds, to meet up with local transit and service the airport proper. And finally, under the current mayor of Los Angeles, he said, stop bickering. This is what we're going to do. You're going to have a people mover that's going to come out and meet us. And that's something that can be funded through the airport. So I think their construction schedule puts them online a little bit later than the Crenshaw line. But it won't be too many years in between when that easy connection will be available.
Right.
And then, as I alluded to earlier, I believe we will see many more discretionary riders getting on rail. As a matter of fact, if I had my druthers, and this is by no means happening, but I would think that one of the most useful rail lines that could ever be put in would be the one to connect all the airports, starting out in Burbank, going to Van Nuys, going to LAX, going to Long Beach, and down into Orange County. Mm-hmm. Because where do people go most?
Right.
You know, we are burdened up in this area by the fact that El Toro did not become an airport.
Mm-hmm.
That would have relieved a tremendous amount of traffic on the 405 from all the people in Orange County that come up and use LAX.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's good news, though.
What did happen to El Toro?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Oh, it's a park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The local residents decided they didn't want an airport?
Yes, there was a vote a number of years ago. Do you want it to be a park with some limited commercial development, or do you want it to be an airport, which it had always been?
Right.
And the people in Orange County voted that they wanted it a park.
I see.
Wow.
So, I'm not intimate with the Orange County political scene in that regard. I don't know how well it's being funded or what kind of a park it turned out to be, but it won't be an airport.
Right. Well, now we have been joined by Bobby Christian, so I want to bring him into the discussion. Hey, Bobby, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing today?
Very good. Very good. Bobby Christian from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau. Bobby, we've been having a great discussion about transportation in Redondo Beach and the South Bay in general. What's going on in the South Bay that people might want to transport to?
Well, we got some great stuff coming up for both chamber members and also for people all over the South Bay that should be coming to Redondo Beach this weekend. Let me start off with what's happening with the chamber. Tomorrow we're having a luncheon. It's a network cafe at Buco di Beppo. It's going to be from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., so it's your lunchtime. It's you take your break to go to your lunch, come hang out with some business members of Redondo Beach, make some connections, build out your network a little bit more. That's going to be $25 for chamber members and $30 for non-members. You need to RSVP if you're going to come for this event. You can RSVP by calling us at 310-376-6911 or by visiting us on the chamber page. Now, we've talked before about some confusion about how to get to the chamber page. So since this is an RSVP event, I'm going to give you the address where you need to go to log on to the website. You go to redondochamber.org/chamber-events. I'm going to say it one more time because I know there's a few it's a few words, but this is where you're going to go to RSVP online. RedondoChamber.org/chamber/events. Now, if you want to find out just more about events with the Redondo Chamber, that web address is web.redondochamber.org. If you log on to web.redondochamber.org, you'll be pulling up the Redondo Beach Chamber side of the website, and you'll be able to find out about upcoming events, network cafes, ambassador meetings, all that sort of thing. So that's what's going on tomorrow with the Chamber. Now, this weekend is a huge weekend in Redondo Beach for people looking for some place to transport to. This Sunday, we not only have our annual Leprechaun 5K taking place in Riviera Village, put on with the Village Runner at 8 a.m. this Sunday. It's a 5K. That's going to be going on. And then at noon at the pier, we have the 42nd annual Redondo Beach Pier Kite Fest. And last weekend we discussed this, and I now know for sure it's being put on with the Sunshine Kite Company. And if you guys know anything about Redondo Beach, you know we've had a little bit of wind lately. We've had some pretty windy days, some big sunset. Yeah, just a little bit. So this is going to be a perfect weekend to see some huge kites, homemade kites, even bring out your own kite and fly on the beach.
I go every year. It's so much fun. So much fun. I mean, I don't fly kites. I just go to watch.
Yeah. What a spectacle.
I don't have anything against kites. I just prefer to just ride down on my bike and watch. You know, I just say I don't fly kites. I wasn't making a statement. I just really enjoy. I ride my bike down there on the strand and I pull over and I stop and I watch and it's magical.
Yeah.
It is.
All right. We're not against kites here.
Yeah, we love kites.
Let's make that very clear.
Yeah.
Jackie loves kites, guys. Jackie loves kites.
That's right.
Jackie loves kites, yes.
Well, that's fantastic. Those are some really nice big events.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool weekend in Redondo Beach. The weather is going to be fantastic. We're going to have great weather for this kite festival. What I'm suggesting I'm going to come down for the 5K. I'm like Jackie. I'm going to come to the 5K. I'm not going to race in the 5K. I have nothing against 5K. I'm just not in 5K shape. I'm going to come down, see the runners off on the 5K. Then I'm going to grab some brunch. I've been seeing some of these pictures that Riviera Village has been putting up on their Facebook feed, and I have to try some of the brunches that are in Riviera Village. So I'm going to do like a long brunch and then go down and catch the kite festival.
Okay.
Sounds like a perfect day.
Sounds like a perfect day.
I think Bobby just mapped out my Sunday.
Yeah.
I'll go down and watch the runners.
Yeah. I don't have anything against runners, just not a runner.
No. We're all for the runners.
Right. I'm glad we got that established.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you. We live in a very dense area. I mean, it's not hyper dense an urban, you know, Chicago, New York, Brooklyn. I mean, it's not hyper dense, but we live in a dense area. Transportation is obviously very, very important. Shirley, let me start with you. What would you say to people that have issues with transportation? And I want you to speak to paratransit. Tell us a little bit about what All Yellow Taxi does for the disabled and for seniors specifically.
Thanks. Okay. All Yellow Taxi is has a franchise in the city of Torrance, Manhattan Beach, Hermosa, and Redondo. And each of the cities have their programs for their seniors, like the Dial-A-Ride program. Mm-hmm. And what we do is we do service the cities and for each of the cities with their seniors that are participating in the program. Hmm. They're also subcontractors for access services. And this is one thing that's very important that people should know and that I'd like people to understand is when you're handling and you're dealing with our seniors and persons with disabilities, training is very important. Sensitivity training, ADA training, all the drivers need to have that kind of training. And it's actually in all of our contracts that the drivers need to have 80 hours worth of training in this area in order for us to be able to facilitate any of the seniors in each of the city, specifically with access services. And it is one of the high points in order for you to become a contractor with access services.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's wonderful. And when you think about the next few years in the taxi business, what are some of the things that you think are bright spots on the horizon? New things happening, or is there new technology coming into play? Electric vehicles, anything like that?
Driverless vehicles?
Well,
driverless. Right. Yeah, we're going to take our seniors in driverless vehicles. And, yes.
Kill them with heart. Kill them with kindness.
Yeah, we will never hear the end of that.
Yeah.
Basically, the most positive thing that I think this alternative transportation has brought to us is software and software design and applications and all that app. The truth is, we started, I'll shout out South Bay Yellow Cab or LA Yellow Cab, had the first software app where they had their application on via text and on their cell phones. But then somewhere along the line, this is just my term, and they're going to kill me for this, is we fell asleep. We just got comfortable. And here comes somebody or, you know, a company that saw this opportunity and took it one step further. And so we lagged behind, and we already had that technology. So I think for us, it's evolving, getting together, and trying to resolve our issue on, because we're local, it's just from one city to another who we can service, maybe opening up the arena for all of us to be under, say, be under this at a state level where we could all get together and get one licensing, be vetted by one entity, and service the whole city and not worry about being so limited with the vehicles in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So that you can share with other agencies, are you saying? Or?
Yes, or share with share more. There's going to be more visibility or more taxi cabs in the area that would be able to be coming from, let's say, because Los Angeles, if you're licensed in Los Angeles, you can't pick up in any of the other cities unless you're licensed to have that. But so if you're licensed in Los Angeles and we fall under one umbrella, if there's nobody available. So what's going to happen is whoever is the closest, the dispatching system will go to the closest vehicle to that person in order for you to get that on-time pickup. So if there's nobody around that area, you know, that closest one, it will look for whoever will be around. So it would give us more opportunity in having more vehicles in the area.
Right. No, that's important.
That's the future. Mm-hmm. More availability. It would be like what they're doing right now, but we're still going to be regulated.
Right.
Joe, there's no shortage of transportation options here in the South Bay, is there? You can get anywhere you need to go.
That's one way or another.
That's right.
And it's fantastic, Don, to hear about what's going on in rail. It really is. Progressing quite well, I think, with this connection potentially to LAX in just a few years, by 2018 or 2019. That's very exciting.
Well, it certainly follows that statement, if you build it, they will come, because surely we have seen a strong use of our rail system since its implementation here in Southern California. Like I say, I lament what we lost in the past, but the fact that we're building it up, just as you talked about earlier, that we grew up back east where rail and transit was integrated within the fabric of day-to-day life. The youngsters that are growing up now in Los Angeles don't know Los Angeles without rail.
Mm-hmm.
So down the line, that acceptance, that usage, we hope will just ingrain itself within the fabric of what it means to live in Southern California.
Right. Wonderful. Well, that has been a great discussion regarding transportation in the South Bay cities and Southern California in general. Thank you so much for joining us today, Shirley.
Thank you for having us.
Shirley Pei from All Yellow Taxi and Don Zerlup of AdWorks Communications. Thanks, Don, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
We're going to have these discussions, I'm sure, many times in the future. And it's, you know, transportation is such a huge part of our everyday lives, so we'll probably revisit this again soon, I'm sure. And of course, please join us tomorrow. Jackie, who's on tomorrow again?
Oh, we're going to be talking about Whale of a Day with some people from the Point Vicente Interpretive Center, the Los Serenos de Point Vicente.
Oh, yeah, that's
They're having an event this weekend, Whale of a Day, and everybody's invited.
Right, right. Fantastic. I love that place.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great place. And so that's our show for today, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.